Hello and welcome to Being Mindful. I'm Lillian Lardsey and I'm joined in the studio today with my co-host, Pastor Deji. And we're really looking forward to today's show. Being Mindful is our weekly broadcast that explores issues surrounding our quality of life as Christians, including mental and emotional well-being, finances, family, relationships, careers, and much, much more. If you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, let me tell you that... Sorry.
Yep. That's how we do.
I'm sitting here and Pastor Titchy is huffing and puffing because he was running around. Anyway, sorry to interrupt.
So if this is your first time on Being Mindful, you know what to expect.
Yes, don't expect us to be all professional and prim and proper, sorry. Okay, back to what I was saying. If you're joining us for the first time on Being Mindful, let me tell you that this is where we discuss topics around how we can respond when we or others are confronted with these kinds of concerns in our Christian lives. As always, during the show, we would love for you to get in touch regarding today's topic. And the easiest way to do that is to contact us using the PHBC radio app. Just tap on the link to contact the studio and send us a message directly from there. We'd love to hear from you. If you're on social media, you can also contact us directly from there using any of the social media channels. Just use the handle at PHBC London to find us on Twitter, on Instagram and on Facebook, and any message you send during the show will come directly to us in the studio. So let's get to it. Oh my goodness. Okay, so today's topic, we are continuing the topic of the power of words, and it affects all of us in our everyday life. So hopefully you tuned in to last week's show, or you listened on the replay, and let's continue today on the power of the word. So Pastor Didji, would you like to summarize what you and Noma covered last week?
Well, last week was primarily about the word and thoughts. So the words we're using, the thoughts around that.
Uh-huh.
And in some regards today is an extension of that. Yeah. So we really just talked around that and talked about how it was really important that we think about the words that we use and the power of the words and the position. You know, what informs our words? What informs the way we think? What informs what our confession?
Uh-huh.
What are the things around that? So particularly often when we're going through situations, when we're going through circumstances, we start to base what we think, what we say, mm-hmm. around the issue that we're facing, rather than our understanding of who we are, what God says, or who God says we are, mm-hmm. how God says we should be.
Mm-hmm.
In very, 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 very simple terms, that's what we were discussing last week. I mean, don't even pretend, just because you weren't here, don't even pretend like you don't know what we were talking about.
I don't.
Mm, that's what they all say.
Okay, so I would like to know, as our practice on Being Mindful, we like to check in with each other. So I will start by asking, Pastor Didji, what is on your mind?
What's on my mind? So, what's on my mind? Wow. Today is the 1st of May.
Yes.
It's the first day of the week.
Uh-huh.
And it's the first day of the month.
Yes.
It's just, I don't know what, I mean, some people are going to spin that into all sorts of stuff, right? Yeah.
Spooky.
Yeah. but it's a bank holiday, you know, yes. And here in the UK, where we're preparing tour for Coronation Weekend.
Mm-hmm.
And so what's on my mind is Coronation Weekend's coming up. And what's certainly on the mind of the nation is the fact that, you know, in a few days, King Charles will be officially crowned as king. So his reign will officially start mm-hmm. on that day.
Mm.
And so what's on my mind is, who's our king? Who's my king?
Mm.
Who's the king of this nation? Who's the king of our community? Who is king? Who is king of my heart?
Mm.
You know, who rules? Who reigns? Who have I crowned? Who have I put into place, put into position?
Mm.
And what are the things, you know, when you're king, you can say things and they are established. You can ask for things, you can request things, you can tell people to do things, you can impose. So the one that I have placed and put as king in my life, what has that king placed and imposed on me?
Mm.
And I'm not necessarily singularly speaking from a theological perspective in saying, obviously I'm a Christian, so Jesus is the king of my heart, I'm talking about Jesus. But sometimes, you know, those things, those situations, the job, the work, the responsibility, the money, mm-hmm. the I've got to pay my bills, the rent, you know, the children, sometimes they take the highest of priorities.
Mm-hmm.
So it's, I've just been sort of mulling that in my mind as I've been thinking about what else is going on. I've just been mulling in my mind, who's my king? Who's the king of my heart? And that's just thinking about that. That's been on my mind. And who's the king of this nation, this community, you know, that sort of thing.
Mm, really interesting. Yes. Well.
So, what is on your mind?
What is on my mind is similar. Because this morning I was listening to some discussions on radio, on media, and there's this whole topic around swearing an allegiance to the king.
Yeah, exactly.
And it seemed to flare some people up. They were asking Christians in particular, you know, would you swear an allegiance to King? Well, you know, we've got King Charles in place. Would you swear an allegiance to the king? And it was so interesting, the comments that were coming through. Some of the people, one lady in particular commented and said, this reminds me of what happened during the time of Daniel, in the book of Daniel, where the Hebrew boys, we know Daniel, and then, you know, his quote-unquote brothers, Hebrew brothers, had to swear an allegiance to the king of the nation at the time. So is this where we're heading? You know, if, you know, at the moment they say apparently it's optional to swear an allegiance to the king, but would this become a norm to swear an allegiance to the king? I believe in the army they have to swear an allegiance to what it was then, the queen, so possibly the king as part of their work. So, you know, these are things that we've got to look at, because, you know, if they're talking about swearing allegiance to a human being, rightly so, again, some of the responses to the Christians was that they swear an allegiance to Jesus Christ, to God, you know, not to man. So, it's something that we need to think about, something that we need to pray about.
And you're absolutely right, because I remember seeing the article a few days ago. It hit the news that, I can't remember what they called it, the roar of the people or the cry of the people or the... So previously, those that swore an allegiance to the monarch were the peers. They were the only ones that did that. They would come, they would kneel, and in turn they would swear an allegiance.
Mm.
In the same way that Charles, when he was prince, swore an allegiance to his mother as king, as queen, sorry. But in a bid to modernize, change things around, and he's been doing a lot of switching up. You know, we'll talk about that in a moment, because I do want to mention it, just to see where people are at. You know, what do people think on this? In a bid to switch things up, to modernize, to be more inclusive, more open, etc., he has changed things around so that the allegiance that is sworn now is to is by everyone.
Mm-hmm.
So it's not just the peers. So what's going to happen apparently in the middle of the coronation, they're going to ask everybody where they are, the entire nation, people listening on radio, people watching on TV, to swear their allegiance. to King Charles III. Now, I know, I absolutely know, a lot of people have a problem with that.
Yes.
Particularly because of issues pertaining to his own personal beliefs, where he stands, his faith, etc. You know, there's all sorts of things that have been, as it were, called into question around this. So I think that's a very, very poignant, a very important point that you make. And it's part of my whole who's king, you know, and I think it kind of flows with where I've been at as well. But yeah, as you know, he's I mean, there's parts of the ceremony. I mean, he's going to be anointed. There's a special oil and there's a special blend and bits from Jerusalem and this and that, the other one and whatever it may be. And it's been prayed on and consecrated oil. And he will be anointed. So he'll be disrobed and anointed head, heart, hands as part of his role in, you know, leading the leading figure in the church. In and of itself, fair enough, you know, because the entire, and some people say, no, what about, why is he doing this? No, we don't want him. He doesn't believe. I'm not so sure I would be that, what's the word? I would be that extreme, okay? Because the entirety of Christianity, please let us never forget, is based on redemption. Is based on a second chance. It's based on, you understand, you know, the sinner being set free. It's based on salvation. It's based on another opportunity. So I cannot be that extreme and saying, this, that, or the other. Fair enough, I say. However, the aspects of the coronation where people of other faiths will come and say their blessing upon him,
wow,
in the middle of that thing is I call it into question. I say, okay, is this now a secular ceremony rather than a religious ceremony? If it's a secular ceremony, let's have it at Wembley Stadium. Why are you doing it in the church? Why Westminster Abbey? You know, what's with the whole Christian elements of this? Oh, we're a Christian nation, Christian prayers, and then Buddhist prayers, Muslim prayers, Jewish prayers, Sikh prayers, and all the other people are coming in and throwing their two pence in.
Wow.
So, again, this is something I've held in my mind. Am I being territorial? Because sometimes as Christians we can be territorial, and it's our thing. You know, why should a Muslim come and you know, why should a Muslim faith leader be given an opportunity to speak in church? It's our thing. And sometimes we as Christians can be really hyper territorial. So I've had to question myself, am I being territorial over these thoughts? You know, if you're listening, I don't know where you stand on this.
Yes, we'd love to know, what's your position on this? You know, how do you feel about the coronation? How do you feel about this allegiance, swearing allegiance to King Charles? Will you be saying?
Will you be swearing your allegiance?
Oh, my goodness. So funny. But anyway.
All right. Listen, I'll tell you what. We're going to get to our main topic, which is the continuing to walk with, you know, our thought life and word life. But first, we're going to take a little piece of music. We're going to hear some music now. What was the one you said? We the kingdom. Come on, I've given you a clue. I've helped you now. This happened last week.
Oh,
I don't understand.
Goodness.
It's right here. It's right here on screen.
I can't see it from there.
Okay, savers.
God is.
God so loved
God
by
so loved.
We
Sorry.
The kingdom. Enjoy this and we'll be right back afterwards.
giving. God so loved the world.
So welcome back. And that was God So Loved by We The Kingdom. One of my favorite songs. So song requests to the worship leaders. Please, can we sing this in church on Sunday? Thank you.
Wow. Didn't see that coming. Wow.
So if Babs is listening.
Okay.
But Pastor's here anyway, so he'll...
I am not getting involved.
No.
I am not getting involved.
Okay, so welcome back, everybody. And we're continuing with being mindful. And remember to, you know, we want you to be involved in the conversation. So far, we've been talking about what's been on our minds. So Pastor Deji was talking about, you know, all that's going on around the King's coronation, which we know is coming up on the next bank holiday weekend. And I was talking about the hot topic of swearing an allegiance to, well, King Charles III. Would you do it? Would you not do it? Let us know. Tap into any of the PHBC radio apps or the handles, our social media handles at PHBC London. We'd love to know what you think on what we've shared so far. So that brings us nicely to our topic.
Yes.
Yeah.
Walking our thought life and our word life.
Oh, okay. Yes. Well, we're kind of exiting from walking with the word.
Yeah.
And moving more towards the power of words.
Yes, yes, yes.
And yes, listening to what both you and Noma shared last week. I was doing my research, but this is a topic that has been close to my heart for many, many years, the power of words, because I think in the early part of my Christian life was very, very conscious about the words that I was speaking, and realizing that the words that we speak actually, they come to pass in our lives. Mm. You know, they have an effect on how we feel, on what we're projecting, on what we invite into our lives, and also not only what we're speaking, but I think I was listening to something this morning, and they were talking about, there was an interview with an artist, a music artist, and the presenter was asking the artist, you know, so the music that you listened to in your early years, you know, is it okay for us to listen to worldly music, you know, music out there in the world, i.e. non-Christian music? Mm. So this artist, who's a Christian artist, she's a Christian and an artist, musician, said about the effects of the power of words. Mm. So my ears pricked up, because I thought, yes, this is our topic. And I thought, that is so true. And she mentioned Proverbs chapter 4 about guarding the issues of our heart. Pastor, I know that you know this scripture. Mm-hmm, so the importance of guarding our hearts. So even when we're listening to music, it's not just about the words that we're speaking or the words that people are speaking to us, but even through media, through advertising, through what we're watching on television, through what we're listening to on music, are the words conducive? Are the words, are they nourishing? Are they godly words that we really need to be hearing in our souls, in our spirits? Because whatever we hear will affect us. So, yeah, again, it's not just about the power of words that we're speaking, but the power of words that we're hearing as well.
Yes.
I don't know whether you want to speak to that, Pastor Deji.
I think you know, it's really, really powerful, the points that you've made, and I think that scripture is absolutely key. It is Proverbs 4:23.
That's it.
That says, you know, guard your heart. I mean, the King James says, guard your heart with all diligence, from out of it flow the issues of life. I want to read this from the New Living Translation. It says, guard your heart above all else, for it determines the course of your life. And I really, I particularly like that translation. It determines the course of your life. It's the navigator. Mm-hmm. It's the, you know, the message says that's where your life starts. You know, guard your heart with all diligence. Guard your vigilantly, watch over your heart. That's where life starts. And I think it's really important what we think, because, well, the root to our actions, typically it's the you think it, then you say it, then you do it.
Yeah.
You know, as a man thinketh.
So is he,
you know. And I think it's really, really, really important. When we think about how the enemy overcomes, how he defeats us, the most important stronghold is the stronghold of the mind. On last week's show, we talked a little bit about Joyce Meyer's teachings, her books, you know, Battlefield of the Mind. It is absolutely the most essential stronghold is the stronghold of the mind. And if you can protect the stronghold of the mind, you're going to be fine.
Yeah.
You know, somebody who is ill in their body but strong in their mind can still function, compared to someone who is strong in their body and ill in their mind.
Yeah.
It's over. Mm-hmm. It's absolutely over. And society, our community, our families, I'm sure many of us listening, many of us on the show will know people individually who are physically strong, but mentally are struggling. Mm-hmm. And it is so debilitating. Mm-hmm. And so the things that we, last time, we also talked about the ear gate and the eye gate. Mm-hmm. The things, you know, those are the two main places. The things we see influence our thoughts. The things we hear influence our thoughts.
Yeah.
And if we're listening to that kind of, you know, excuse my language, I'm a shoot your mom, I'm a take your girl kind of music, you know, sooner or later we start, those are the thoughts, those are the images that begin to be presented in our minds.
Yeah.
That's the life and the lifestyle that we begin to identify with.
Pastor, listen, I remember one time I was with a friend, couple of friends, well, they're a couple, married couple, and we were driving and they were going to stop off at a family's place, and they said, oh yeah, we'll only be like, you know, a few minutes. And then when they went to see this family relative, and then they came back, and they were going on about how this family relative had a little toddler, okay, and they were talking about this toddler. Apparently this toddler, I think, was maybe about 2, 3 or something, but the toddler was swearing, was using swear words, okay. Wow. So when they told me, I was like, but how, you know? And they said he's a product of his environment, because the mother wasn't very well, number one, so she wasn't taking good care of the boy, and the father was in and out. He wasn't really present.
Yeah.
Okay, he was there, but he wasn't present. And so whenever the couple would be arguing, you know, they'd be using all sorts of flavorable words, and the boy would pick up on it. So when my friends went round, and, you know, even just saying hello to the boy would say something to them, you know.
Wow.
But he doesn't know what he's saying.
Indeed.
You know, he's just using the words that he hears his parents using, which was very, very disturbing to me, because I thought, oh my goodness, if no one steps in to intervene, this boy, how is this boy going to grow up? What's his future going to be?
Yes.
You know, and like the scripture that you just read, you know, what's the course, what's the direction of his life, you know, at such a young age?
Yes.
And I hear stories from parents where they say, oh, you know, my child was okay until they started going to school or nursery, and they come home with certain words that they start speaking, you know, that they don't normally speak at home. So, yeah, you know, it's how do we correct ourselves? How, even, you know, maybe you yourselves, those of you who are listening, you know, you've got children. They could be toddlers, they could be young, they could be teenagers even. And all of a sudden they start using certain words that you know, are not agreeable to our Christian living. How do you correct them? What do you say? Let us know if you come across that.
There are two phrases I want to use today. Number one is that, and we know this one, I think we talked about it last time as well, you are what you eat, or you are what you consume.
Mm-hmm.
And so what we're consuming through our eye gate and our ear gate, you know, we often say you're what you eat more from a dietary perspective. But you're also what you eat in terms of what you're consuming, in terms of emotionally, mentally, what we're consuming in media.
Yeah.
So, what we're taking in, we become a product, a byproduct. We start to embody what we're taking in. We start, you know, we will exude it. It will be in our pores. It will be in our subconscious. So I wanted to just touch on that a little bit. Just thinking about this child, and that's a really, really unfortunate, tragic, I would say, situation. And in my, excuse me, but I'm just going to go there. But for me, that's actually a form of abuse. Not caring for that child, exposing that child to that sort of stuff. That's negligence to the point of abuse. And I do not think that is there's anything, you know, good about that, nice about that. And it, you know, I pray that the Lord, in His inimitable grace, you know, will intervene in the life of that child, and there will be a rescue for this child. But the other thing I wanted to say has completely escaped my mind as I started to think about this child. Oh my days.
Okay, whilst you're recollecting what you were going to say, let me just step in here, because something which I think our listeners... Yes. Oh, have you remembered?
No, go for it. I have remembered and I'll retain.
Okay, no, you go for it.
Yeah.
And then I can cover this bit when we come back from the break.
Okay, so the other thing I was going to say in that, you know, we talked about the child and it takes a village to raise a child. We understand that. And I think one of the things you said in that moment, you said, you know, what do we do? What can we do? What you know, what's the way here? We often lose sight of the truth. There is a deeply profound abiding truth that decay is our natural order. Decay is our natural order. When you leave it, it will decay. Whatever the it may be, your body, it will decay.
True.
Your home. Listen, leave your home. Build a brand new house, brand new, never lived in. Leave it for 6 months, come back, completely covered in dust, cobwebs everywhere, stuff. Just decay is the natural order. Leave your body, leave your mind, leave your diet, leave your spirit, leave your whatever it may be. Decay is the natural order. And just as we would care for our cars, care for our homes, we care for our, you know, we will read, we will study, we will learn stuff, we care for our spirits, we go to church to get topped up, to get inspired, to get encouraged, to learn, study, to show ourselves approved, to worship God, to practice worship, to practice the discipline of prayer. Just as we do all of those things, what we're doing is we're renewing and replenishing, refreshing, you know, the it that we don't want to leave. You know, we will clean ourselves every day. We will care for our hair, our teeth, our body, our skin, our, you know, etc. every day.
Yeah.
The way to do it, number one, is to recognize decay is the natural order. If you leave it, whatever that it may be, it is susceptible to decay naturally.
Yeah.
So what we do is we care for it.
Mm-hmm.
We continue to clean it up. You continue to clean the it up. Your mind, your music, your thinking. You continue to clean it up.
Our
your
words. Skin,
your words, your confession, what you're reading. You continue to clean it up.
Yeah, yeah. And that's all part of progression, isn't it? And development, especially for our spiritual selves. In, you know, if we just take time out to think, okay, the words that I'm speaking, are they conducive to where I want to go in life? Or how I want to grow in my spiritual life? Am I using the right words? Even in communication, in relationships, you know, the words that I'm speaking, because often the words that we're speaking to ourselves. The words that we're speaking externally, we're speaking to ourselves first internally. So how healthy are those words that you're speaking? So, we want to hear from you, listeners. What do you think about the power of your words? What are the words that you're speaking? Okay, and talking of speaking, our next, we're going to go for a music interlude.
That's an interesting
music interlude. And our next song coming up is going to be called Speak to My Heart by Michael J. Parlett. So enjoy, and still let us know what are the words, what are you hearing us speak today, and we'll get hopefully be able to answer you.
Thank you.
So thank you for joining us again. We were listening to Speak to My Heart by Michael J. Parlett. Hope you enjoyed that little music interlude. Musical break. And I must acknowledge, how rude of me, that Noma is not able to join us this evening. So we're saying hello to you, Noma. And yes, it's myself and Pastor DJ here in the studio for Being Mindful. And we're continuing to explore the topic on power of words. So again, those of you listening, if you have any questions, comments or contributions to the discussion, do let us know in any of the ways, as I've mentioned previously, on the PHBC app. You can contact the studio there or via the social media handles using at PHBC London. Mm-hmm. Whether you're on Twitter, Instagram or Facebook, you'll be able to get in touch with us and it will be lovely to hear from you. So,
yes.
Continuing with this topic on the power of the words, I did some research. Well, I knew of this research and I think you will find this quite interesting. And I encourage you to do this research, have a look at it yourself. Pastor Deji, I don't know if you've heard of this Japanese researcher called Dr. Masaru Emoto.
No, I have not, but I'm intrigued.
Okay. Dr. Masaru is a Japanese researcher, and years ago, I think this was, oh, I can't remember when, but it was a few years, like 20, 30 years ago. He studied about what he calls the frequency of words, conscious, using our consciousness in the power of our words, okay? And so what he did was he experimented. First of all, he used rice. So he got, I can't remember if he cooked the rice or it was raw rice. And he put them in separate jars, two jars. And he labeled one up positive and he labeled up another jar negative. And every day, I can't remember how long the days were. Over a course of a number of days, he would speak certain words to each jar. So to the negative jar, he would speak negative words like, I hate you, you're horrible, you're this, you're that. Just horrible, dire words, okay? And then to the positive words, he would say things like, you're beautiful, you're lovely, you're loving, you're looked after, etc., etc. So like I said, for a number of days or even weeks he did this. And each time he studied, he looked at the rice. At the end of the experiment, he noticed that the one that labeled negative, that jar, in that jar, the rice, had started to grow mold.
Wow.
Mold on the rice, yeah. Whereas with the label, the jar that was labeled positive, was as clean as anything. If anything, it looked better than the first time he put the rice in the jar. Okay, so that's the first experiment with the rice. Then he said, okay, if this is on what he called like an external substance, he was more sort of concerned about if this is words that we're projecting out into the world and it has this effect, yeah. How much more would the words that we're projecting or speaking have an effect on us as humans?
Mm.
So he started to study water. But more so in the form of, I think it was ice. So what he did was he had, again, it was like two jars or two bottles or two cups of water. Again, one labeled negative, one labeled positive. Same thing. He would speak negative words over the negative bowl of water or cup of water, positive over the positive water.
Mm-hmm.
And then he would freeze them. He would freeze the water. On freezing that, he would get a sample of the ice and under the microscope, he would look at the icicles. For the negative one, the way that the icicles formed were very sort of restricted. They were dark. The patterns were kind of haphazard and they were just not a nice pattern at all. And then with the one, the positive from that positive sample, the icicles under the microscope was like very pretty patterns. So in case for you who don't know this, that we as humans, depending on the research that you look at, we are made up of between 70 to 80% water.
Correct.
So, and the world is also made up of 70 to 80% water.
Correct.
So, what we're speaking will have tremendous effects. The words that we're speaking, even to ourselves, will have tremendous effects on ourselves. So, I thought that was quite an interesting experiment. So look it up. You can look up the experiment on YouTube. Just type in Dr. Masarun. It's spelled M for mother, A-S-A-R-U, Emoto, E-M for mother, O-T-O, experiment. Or you can just put in rice and water experiment, power of words, and it will come up.
Let me tell you what, just as you were sharing this, what the question in my mind, the issue in my mind, a little bit of a distraction here, so just brace yourself.
Okay.
Is how did this man, I mean, what, he was lying in bed, he said, I'm going to speak to rice. I mean, I'm going to, you know, I understand water, we're 70% water, the earth is 70% water. I get the, you know what, I need to talk to some rice today. How did we get there? I need to talk to some, I'm not trying to minimize what, you know, his experiment and the significance, but I'm going to talk to some rice. He said, you know what, when I talk to rice, let me tell you, sometimes I talk to rice. So this afternoon, my lunch happened to be jollof rice and chicken. And I spoke to my jollof rice. I said, be thou removed. I spoke scripture over my rice. Be thou removed and cast into my belly. Be thou removed and cast into my belly, because, you know, that's the only way I talk to rice. And so I'm absolutely fascinated in how this man felt. Do you know what? I want to do something. I want to, the power of words. Why did he choose? He didn't choose mice, ants, cockroaches.
No.
He didn't choose plants.
No.
Because that's...
Yes. There's been experiments, though, on plants.
Yes.
So a similar thing, where the plant has died from the negative words and the plant with the positive words has flourished.
And it's interesting because our king, King Charles, I'm talking about Jesus, King Charles was one of the main advocates for speaking to plants. Certainly in the 80s and 90s, he was quite famous for saying how he would, because he's about nature and he's, you know, hydrove gardens and he's, you know, sustainability of the planet and all of this stuff. And he was famously say he spoke to his plants, you know. And a lot of research has gone into that, and quite proven research, quite sound, let me say, research that tends to show that when we speak to plants, they thrive, depending on what we say, they could thrive or die, based on, depending on what we're saying and how we're speaking to the plants. And I think, and so I get that. Anyway, Dr. Nasuru Emoto, Masaru Emoto, I was really quite fascinated as to why he chose rice, not pounded yam.
I have no idea.
Banku, bread. I mean, beans. I can think of a whole heap of other things he could have spoken to. But I think,
maybe because he's Japanese, you know, so he just, maybe he was sitting down eating rice one day and he just thought.
And he thought, I'll try.
You know, yes.
But again, it just goes to show the words that we speak, they are spirit and they are life.
Yes.
And whether it be that we speak them out, or it be that we speak them to ourselves, you know, they are still the words that we speak.
Yeah.
And I think it's also important, not just the words we speak over ourselves, the words we allow to be spoken over us.
Oh, 100%. You know, we shouldn't be so open to receive certain words that, you know, are degrading, are negative, you know, and there's a lot that goes on in the body of Christ, isn't there, where people have spoken certain prophecies or words that have have been negative or have been, you know, they're not nice. And, you know, what do people do? Do they take them on or do they take a stand and say, well, hold on a minute. No, I'm not receiving that, you know. And we've got to, again, it's going back to scripture, guarding our hearts, not even got just our hearts, but our minds as well.
Indeed.
You know, we are the keepers of our minds and our hearts. And so we have that sole responsibility as to whether we're going to receive certain words. It's, you know, like you mentioned last week, through our eye gate, through our ear gate. What is it that you want to listen to? What is it that you're ready to receive? If what someone is speaking to you or saying to you, you don't agree with, either say so or just, you know, just blank out those words.
Yeah, yeah. I think it's really, 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 really critical. You know, whether you vocalize it, it is important. If you refuse the gift that this person is bestowing upon you, whether you vocalize it to them or you vocalize it to self, vocalize it. Say in your own heart, I reject that over my life. Say it. Say it to yourself. I reject that over my life. I reject that for myself. I reject that for my family. I reject that for my community, for my children, for my future, for my marriage, for my finances, for my home, whatever it may be. Say it. Speak it. You know, it, because again, the words that you speak are spirit and life. And I think that so often, too often, we default to silence. We default to, we say, well, you know, I'm just going to keep quiet. No. Say yours too. You know, the old adage, the old saying, you fight fire with fire. You fight words with words. You know, you fight spirit with spirit. You know, we don't wrestle against flesh and blood. The words that we speak are spirit and life. But out of the heart, so out of the depth of the heart, the mouth speaks. Your word have I hidden in my heart that I will not sin against you. And guard your heart with all diligence, from out of it the issues of life flow. Guard your heart with all diligence, because it's the start of life. Guard your heart with all diligence, because it determines the course of your life, the New Living Translation says. And so it shows the power, the place, the position, the importance of the heart as a storehouse, a treasure for our navigation through this journey that we are on, this journey of life.
And also something I want to touch on about complaining, you know. When we complain, we're polluting our environment, because, you know, if you complain to yourself or you complain to someone else, what words are you speaking, you know, and where are those words going? And that is feeding you, that is feeding into your heart, into your mind as well. And there's a saying that says, when you complain, you remain, you know, because when you complain, you're just complaining. What's the solution? What's the leeway out of that?
And I want to, I'm glad you said that, because but forgive me, I want to clarify. I want to just bring a little bit of clarity to the use of the word complaining. A complaint in and of itself is not necessarily negative. Because sometimes, you know, to say this is wrong is a complaint.
That's true.
Say this didn't happen the way it should have happened, and I don't like that it happened that way, is a complaint in and of itself is wrong. But the context, for all those of you who are listening on the show, the context is the context of grumbling, the context of ingratitude, the context of just being negative, you know, downing, you know, about the whole situation. Oh, look at me, woe is me. We're only talking about the cost of living crisis. We're not talking about the fact that we had food to eat yesterday. We're only talking about the fact that you know, heating and utility bills are going up, not the fact that actually we didn't freeze to death yesterday. You know, there's all, the coin always has another side. And I'm not saying don't be realistic. You know, I'm not saying that before comments start coming in. You know, what are your thoughts on being realistic? The truth of it is, we are in the world, but we are not
of the world.
It is really important. And sometimes what happens is we go to work and we meet people who are just negative minded. The only thing they remember about their journey to work was the traffic. The only thing they're like, oh, it's so cold. You know, it's the middle of April, and they'll say, I'm freezing. can you, you know, stop with the exaggeration, stop with the extreme language, you know.
And we're known here in the UK for complaining about the weather, aren't we? When it rains, it rains, and then we don't like it. When it's too hot, it's too hot. You know,
what don't we complain about? No, so we complain about the rain, but we omit the fact that those luscious apples and pears and bananas, you know, yes, the grass is green in this country.
Yeah,
you know, my country of origin. We see brown grass quite regularly.
Well, we witnessed that last year, didn't
Absolutely.
We? When we had the so-called forced autumn,
mm-hmm,
where the
mm-hmm
grass just went like, hey,
mm-hmm,
you know, and everyone was concerned. And, you know,
I mean, look what happened in Spain last week. Did you know Spain was almost 40 degrees last week?
Wow, I didn't
last
know that.
Last week in April.
Oh, almost,
they were 37.8, 37.9.
It's coming our way, folks. And get ready.
Yeah,
brace yourself.
Yeah, in Spain.
Wow.
In April.
But wasn't it February, March, where Morocco had all that
absolutely
snow?
Absolutely, absolutely.
And even Greece as well.
We broke, anyway.
I didn't know.
We broke the
I didn't
planet.
Know such places had snow like that.
Oh, they do from time to time. But we broke the planet, so stuff's all a little
exactly
bit haywire right now.
Yeah.
And this is the issue. The reality of it is stuff may be tough, but I think, again, part of this thought life, word life, you know, the power of words and what we're saying, it is important to have an attitude of gratitude where we're continually, you know, I'm not saying
exactly
you're walking around can't necessarily,
yes,
you know, the songwriter said, count your blessings, name them one by one. It'll surprise you what the Lord has done. And I'm not saying stand there going, number one, this, number two, that, number three, but it's like, don't lose sight of your blessing, you know, in your reality, you know, while you're being realistic. Don't forget to be optimistic.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, don't forget that. And it's really, really critical. These are the things that inform, these are the things that sit in our hearts that then become, you know, that then determine the course of our lives. These are the things that sit in our hearts that become our means of navigating life,
mm-hmm,
as Scripture was telling us earlier on.
Yeah. And just to finish off our conversation, wow, the time has gone so quick.
Yeah.
Boundaries, setting boundaries over our words. So gratitude is a great way of setting boundaries over our words. And like you mentioned, any words that come our way or are spoken over us, you know, to set boundaries over them and let people know, you know, if they speak to you a certain way, that, no, that's not on, you know, I'm not receiving what you're saying.
Yeah.
And also boundaries for ourselves when it comes to self-talk, you know, because we can often get caught up in the chatter of our head and not realize it. You know, let's begin to build in boundaries where we interrupt that negative chatter and set ourselves on the course and the direction of speaking well of ourselves first and foremost. So, well, I think we've reached the end now, haven't we, Pastor Deji?
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
We've come to the last few moments of the show, and sadly, that's all we have time for this week. So, next week, I don't know what we're planning to discuss, but it will be a surprise, as always. But we would love you to join us again as we explore more issues on how we can continue to be mindful in our Christian walk. So you've been listening to Being Mindful here on PHBC Radio. My name is Lillian Larty, and tonight's discussion has been facilitated by the one and only Pastor Deji. He wanted me to mention his name here in the studio with me today. So thank you, and as always, as we
wow,
I'm fluffing up my words. Pastor Deji,
this show is being mindful, but it's also being joyful.
Yes. Okay. Being mindful. Thank you for listening. And remember, be mindful of yourselves and each other. God bless you.
God bless you.